fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to continue today to look at St. Paul's beautiful prayer, a prayer for you and a prayer for me that's just as relevant today as it was when he wrote it. It's from his letter to the Ephesians in the first chapter. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program this week, I've been just reflecting on this first chapter, and I'll conclude it this morning. You can go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them or download them on whatever device works for you to make that happen. Take some time to browse the website while you're there. There's a lot of good free stuff there that will help you both see the Lord, understand who you are, your fundamental identity in Christ, and to be able to answer the question, Lord, what is it that you want from me? What is it? How do you want me to live? And how can I give my life more fully to you? So starting in verse 15 in that first chapter, which I began to touch on yesterday, here's how it reads. For this reason, because I have heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, love that phrase, the Father of all glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. So Paul is concerned here that you're able to see and understand something deep in the core of your being, and that is who God is and who Jesus Christ is. He said, the wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, your heart and mind, from the core of our being, that the light of God's very knowing, God's revelation, would be given to you so that you can see what's impossible for human beings to see, that is to really see who God is. Not that God exists only, but that you see who God is, and especially what God the Father has done in Christ and his glory and majesty. He is the head of a new race of people. He's the second Adam. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's the beginning of the only future with hope that the human race has. And God wants us to see in Christ what we've been given. He goes on, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. I ended the program yesterday with that. You've been called to a hope. And remember, when the scripture talks about hope, when Catholics, Christians talk about hope, we're not talking about positive thinking. We're not talking about wishful thinking. We're talking about something that we can be completely convinced about, that we can have a living expectation of, a happening, something in the future. What we see now in Christ, that he's at the right hand of the Father, and the new creation, the new humanity has begun. God's ultimate plan for the human race is unfolding in the life of Jesus Christ as he shares that new life with each and every one of us. Hope is the confidence, the conviction, the faith to really believe everything that is in him has been opened to me, and my life is headed toward union, apart from this fallen world, into a new world, into the kingdom of God, into heaven itself, at the right hand of the Father with Jesus. So Paul is concerned that we see with hope to what we're called to, and he says, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? There's a collective inheritance by all those who die in Christ. You know, the church has declared certain people saints. Definitively, we know they're in heaven with God because of the heroic virtue that was in them, was a living sign of their union with God. But many people are in heaven, and everyone who's in heaven is a saint. Everyone who's in heaven, to be a saint means to be with God in heaven, to have made it home. And there's an inheritance there. A glorious inheritance. All the saints who've come into the promise, they've come into what God the Father has promised for them. It's the full down, not just a down payment that he talked about earlier here in the gift of the Holy Spirit, but it's the fruition of the Holy Spirit's work that has begun here in this life as we become transformed into Christ and we live more in the kingdom and we become more like God and with God. But it's actually the full and complete realization of it. Absolutely fantastic. He goes on in verse 19, he said, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe. Seeing Christ, his victory, his glory, seeing the saints, seeing God's purpose alive in them, and his work in power manifested in them. Paul wants us to see it so that we understand there's enough power in us to live this life, in this life, what God has called us to. There's dynamic power. The church has as Father Conte La Mesa once said, the church has an infinite capacity for regeneration. So yes, the church is in a state of weakness in many places today. It seems to be collapsing in different places. And too many people say, well, that's unfortunate. I mean, it looks like we're losing and we're going to lose. It looks like we don't have an answer to the powerful culture that's confronting us. We have everything we need. You have everything you need to be able to live a new way of life because Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father. This is beyond nuclear power, friends. This is a power and an energy that destroyed death, that raised him from the dead, and that new creation has begun. And Paul says it's so crucial that you see it, that you see it in faith so that you'll live in hope and you'll know that you possess a power, the power to live a new way of life. The world can't control you. No matter how dark the darkness might get in the world, the light of Christ will become brighter in you. No matter how deep, as Corrie Ten Boom has said, how deep the pit is that the world digs itself in and we're all present in, there's no pit that God is not deeper still. Jesus Christ went into the bowels of death itself and declared his victory and broke the chains of the enemy to make it possible for us to live a new way of life in freedom and to resist all that the devil throws at us. So he wants you to know the immeasurable greatness of his power that's in you. It's not your resources, your smarts, your money, your pedigree, whatever. It is Christ in you, your hope of glory. He said, according to the working of his great might, which he accomplishes in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That's the nuclear explosion. That's where the power comes from. It comes from Jesus Christ risen. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, a new creation began, something entirely new. Everything has changed. There's a power now that this fallen world cannot touch. It's the power of Christ risen. It's his. It belongs to him. He's acquired it by his victory on the cross. The Father's given it to him because of his obedience and his faithfulness, which he accomplished in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him sit at his right hand in heavenly places. The Catechism reminds us what that means is that Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, he has full divinity, full authority, full power, just like he said himself. All power and authority belongs to him. You see, are you getting a little bit of a taste? This is what the church should be focusing on. This is where our minds and our hearts should be, alive with this. Then we can have an impact on our culture. Then we can really be a light in the midst of the darkness. We can be salt. But if this is not alive in us and we're just plodding along or struggling along on our own resources and barely fighting off discouragement and feeling powerless and slightly intimidated or pacified and trapped even, this is what will set you free. This knowledge that Paul is pleading to God the Father to give you. And friend, if you seek it, you will find it. If you want this knowledge, you'll get it. But Jesus said, seek first the kingdom. That means first. If it's tertiary, if it's 4 points down your list each day that you may never get to, if it's not your top priority, if this isn't the hunger of your life and the hunger of your heart, you're probably not going to get it. Jesus said, seek first. So the question for us is, how bad do we want this? So again, God made him sit at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Jesus has the name above all names. Someone has a name, right? It means a lot in the scripture when you're named. And he's been named Christ the Lord. He's the Lord of all, Jesus. It's his responsibility in the Father to bring about the salvation of the world, to bring home those who say yes to him, and to raise them to glory, and to present them perfect to the Father. And he will do it. And he'll do it in your life if that's what you want. If you allow him, if you cooperate with him, if you say yes to him. He said, and he has put all things under his feet and has made him head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, the church might look weak. The world might look impregnable, awesome, powerful, and all its money and its noise and its technical power, its beauty, all of that. And the church might look like a weak beggar in relationship to it, without any power or influence. Understand this. He has put all things under his feet, including that glitzy world. That means he has total power over it, and he's going to be the ultimate judge of it. He's God, the Lord of all. And he has made him, God the Father has made Jesus, head over all things for the church. What's going to last forever and is going to ultimately shine and radiate in beautiful glory is the church. Why? Because it's his body. Christ is the head. He's undefeatable. He's absolutely indestructible. That's a fact. And guess what? All that looks so powerful in this world, it's all going to pass away. So the saints remind us that the scripture tells us, don't cling too closely to it. Let Jesus strip you of the idolatry that's in your heart. We all have it. My image, my trophies, my neighborhood, my special place that I live in, my name, my prominence, my whatever it is. Let Jesus strip away those idols. That's what they are. You're clinging and finding your identity in them. That's part of what makes it hard for you and maybe impossible to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you're still a little concerned about your own glory. You're still too preoccupied with your own place and your own power and your own name and all the rest of that silliness, the pride of life that St. John the Apostle wrote about. Let the Lord strip you of it, because there's only one King, there's only one Lord and Savior of all. And we're all going to bow our knee before the King. Even those who resist him, at the end when he comes, everybody's going to bend their knee to Christ and acknowledge that he's the Lord of all. Those who refused him are going to beat their chest in horror, and they're going to realize what they've resisted and what the consequence of that resistance would be and is. And he says, remember, the church is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So the church, his body, the church Christ established on earth, that church and all those who are baptized and united to that church in Christ are going to live for eternal life, are going to enter eternal life, and they're going to become partakers of the divine nature, and everything else is going to pass away. So walk lightly, be detached, invested, but not with a healthy detachment in this world, but be what Christ wants you to be in this world, not what the world wants you to be. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.